Will you open your Bibles this morning to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, please? Ephesians chapter 1. And shall we read together from the first verse? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. May the Lord bless to us the reading of these few verses from his word. In our first meeting this morning, emphasis was placed upon the subject of gifts, the gifts that were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of the person of Christ himself. And we're at that time of the year when folks are concerned with giving, and yet I trust that we are not so concerned with our physical giving of temporal gifts that we lose sight of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that have been given to us by and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us here this morning who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior will agree, I'm sure, that the Christian life is a life of privilege and a blessing. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, many wonderful things happen to that individual. And we read in the third verse of the scripture portion that we've just read together that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And notice that little word, all, with all spiritual blessings. Of course, we recognize that we have right now all of those spiritual blessings. We're not able yet to participate in all of them completely. They're not all right at hand where we can experience them, but nevertheless they are ours from the moment we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Some are now that we can experience, some are still before us, and we will experience them in their fullness in the future. And this morning I'd like to consider with you just a few of the spiritual blessings that are ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to recognize, however, that with every privilege and with every blessing, there is a responsibility. There's a law of physics that says simplistically that for every action, there is a reaction. And this is true in spiritual things as well. And connected with every privilege, connected with every responsibility that we have in our Lord Jesus, that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a responsibility. But we must keep in mind that the privileges and blessings that are ours in Christ are not ours because we fulfill that responsibility. We must fulfill that responsibility because those privileges and blessings are ours. And whether we do fulfill the responsibilities or not, those blessings still are ours. And yet, we do have the responsibility of doing those things that the Word of God tells us we should be doing in connection with the privileges and blessings that are ours. Our purpose in speaking on this subject this morning is twofold. First of all, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior need to be reminded of all that we have in Him over and over again. We need to be reminded of that because we are so apt to take things for granted. We are so apt to lose our appreciation for them. And this is true of those things that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, just as it's true of the temporal things of life. We take so many things for granted. Just a simple thing like water. It's there when we want it. We turn on the tap and we have it. But for those of us here on the hill, when something happens to the pump up on the hill and we can't get any water, we very quickly have a deeper appreciation for it, don't we? We take things for granted. And this is true in the spiritual realm as well. We have so much in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much that God has so richly bestowed upon us. And yet we take these things for granted. And we lose our appreciation for them. And this, of course, is one reason I believe that the Lord in His infinite wisdom established the Lord's Supper, that we might be reminded week after week after week of His person and of what He has done for us, because without that, we would be prone to forget. And so our first purpose in mentioning some of these things this morning is that those of us who know Christ might be reminded of them afresh and have an appreciation for them. But secondly, if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, our desire and our prayer is that as you hear of some of these wonderful blessings and privileges that are found in Christ, that you will have a desire to know Him as we know Him, as your personal Savior, and become a recipient of these things and enjoy these things to the fullest. Well, first of all, when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, and I might mention these are not in any particular order. There's no real significance to the sequence that we'll mention them. But first of all, when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he experiences the forgiveness of sin. Every sin that we have or will commit is forgiven when we trust Christ, past, present, and future. But not only are they forgiven, but they're forgotten. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea. They're removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And God forgets those sins and does not accrue them to our account in any manner at all. We were reminded last Wednesday evening that we need a deeper appreciation of this tremendous fact and of the price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid at Calvary in order to accomplish our redemption, in order to provide for the forgiveness of sin. And we need to keep in mind, too, that the fact that our sins are forgiven does not give us the right to sin. The Apostle Paul brings this graphically to our attention in the 6th chapter of Romans, where he says in verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid." God forbid. And this is the responsibility that's connected with the blessing. The blessing is the forgiveness of sin. The responsibility is that we do not continue in sin. The fact that our sins are forgiven is not a permit to continue in sin, but rather when we consider all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in providing this forgiveness, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's only reasonable for us to walk in paths of righteousness. It's only reasonable for us to be obedient to the instruction of the Word of God when we consider all that Christ has done for us. There's a little hymn in the little flock book that I was looking at this morning that says, oh, that we never, I can't read my own writing here, oh, that we might never forget what Christ has suffered for our sake. Oh, that we might always remember, that we might not forget, that we might not lose sight of the fact that he paid a tremendous price to accomplish our redemption and the forgiveness of sin at Calvary. Well, then, one other blessing that is ours and something that we take for granted is that when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he becomes a child of God. He becomes a child of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, or better rendered, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just think of that. Lost, guilty sinners who deserve nothing but punishment, who deserve nothing but separation from God, who deserve nothing but an eternity separated from God, become children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That little word, that little phrase, as many as, is literally rendered whosoever. Whosoever receives him, whether they be rich or poor, whether they be educated or uneducated, whether they be black or white or yellow or brown, whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be male or female, whosoever by faith trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior becomes a child of God. And I wonder this morning if you're a child of God. I wonder if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As we mentioned before, one of the reasons we have of speaking on this subject this morning is that you might learn of the blessings that are found in him and thus have a desire to know him. And if you are here without Christ, if you've never trusted him as your personal Savior, our desire, our prayer this morning is that you will avail yourself of all that is found in Christ Jesus. There are those who teach that God is the Father of all men, and that all men are the children of God. And this, of course, is contrary to Scripture. They don't believe in the Son of God, but they believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Scripture does not teach this, but rather Scripture tells us that only those who by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior become the children of God. And when one trusts Christ, he immediately becomes a member of the family of God. He's immediately brought into that family. He's placed in the position of a child of God, and he enjoys all of the benefits and blessings and privileges that accrue to one who is a member of God's family. And this is no different than the secular sense. Those who are children of one of our families enjoy certain rights. They enjoy certain privileges. They enjoy certain blessings, don't they? Because they're members of our family. This is true of God's family as well. The countless blessings and mercies that he pours out upon his children are available to those who put their faith in him. But not only does faith in the Lord Jesus Christ make us a child of God, but it does something else for us as well. It makes us an heir of God. It makes us a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 assures us of this. For there it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Think of that in the positive sense. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, being an heir implies something additional to and higher than being a child. In the things of the world, not every child is an heir. There are times when a child does something that's displeasing to his parents, and that child is cut off. And when the time comes for the reading of the will, he finds out that he is not really an heir, for nothing has been left to him. But this, of course, is not true in the spiritual realm. We who have trusted Christ as Savior are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And although our behavior is to be good, even if it isn't good, that position, that privilege, that blessing is not taken from us. And actually, the moment we trust Christ as Savior, we possess that inheritance. The moment we trust Christ as Savior, we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And nothing can take that inheritance away from us. But think of that. What does it mean to be an heir of God? What does it mean to be a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ? It means that all that God possesses, all that Christ possesses, we possess. Think of that. There's no earthly inheritance that can compare with that. And to use the current day's vernacular, it's something that boggles the mind. We can't really fully understand it. We can't really grasp it. All that God possesses, we possess. All that Christ has, we have. Because we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We who were lost, guilty, condemned sinners are now possessors of all that God possesses. Now, we're not in the complete enjoyment of that inheritance yet. It's ours. It belongs to us. It's reserved for us. 1 Peter 1:4 tells us that. But notice where it's reserved in that verse. It's reserved in heaven. We don't have it today in the sense that we can put our hands on it, but it's ours. It's reserved for us in heaven, not on earth. Israel in a coming day will have an earthly inheritance, but those of us who are members of the church, of the body of Christ, those of us who have trusted Christ as personal Savior, have a heavenly inheritance. And Scripture says, "And in it we greatly rejoice." Are you rejoicing this morning over the inheritance that is yours? Are you appreciative of the fact that we have as our inheritance all that God has, all that Christ has? It belongs to us. Think of that. May God enable us to grasp this to a larger degree, that we might appreciate more and more that which we have in Christ Jesus. Another thing that happens to us when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior is that we are accepted in the Beloved, and we find this in the sixth verse of the Scripture portion that we read together this morning. We are accepted in the Beloved. We sometimes sing that lovely hymn, "In the Beloved, accepted am I." risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through infinite grace, with the redeemed ones, accorded a place in the beloved God's marvelous grace, calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. And listen, God sees my Savior, and then he sees me in the beloved, accepted and free. What a wonderful place to be, accepted in the beloved. Who can fathom the depth of those words? Accepted in the beloved. We are seen by God not as lost, guilty, condemned sinners, but we are seen by God in all of the beauty, in all of the loveliness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beloved. What force there is in that expression. It implies that in the beloved one we are loved. God loves us because he loves Christ. And we are in Christ. And this tells us something that frankly is very difficult to believe. And yet we do believe it. And it is true. And that is that God loves us as much as he loves his Son. Think of that. God loves us as much as he loves his Son. He loves us so much that he was willing to give his Son for us. He was willing to send him to a cross of shame and ignominy. He was willing to have him die. He was willing to have him shed his precious blood. He was willing to have him pay sin's penalty at his own righteous hand there upon a cross on Golgotha's hill because of his love for you and for me. He loved us enough to give us his Son. I wonder if you this morning have availed yourself of the love of God by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God took residence within us. This is another one of the wonderful blessings that are ours, we who have trusted Christ. We received a new nature. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's the impact of this new nature on our lives? Well, we have new desires. We have new ambitions. We have new objectives. The things of the world that once were such an attraction to us no longer have that attraction. At least, this is the way it should be. But unfortunately, while one who trusts Christ, while one who has been born again by the Spirit of God, receives a new spiritual nature and becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus, he does not, during his earthly existence, get rid of that old sinful nature that he received at his physical birth. And this nature is called in the scriptures, as you well know, the old man. The old man which is full of sin, the old man which is full of corruption, the old man which is full of lust, in contrast to the new man that we receive when we trust Christ, which is characterized by righteousness and holiness. But they're both there. And these two natures are contrary to each other. And these two natures fight with each other. They're in constant conflict. And you and I may yield to one or we may yield to the other. And Romans 6:16 tells us that to whichever of these two nations we yield, we become a servant. We become under its power. But we who know Christ are exhorted by the Word of God to make no provision for the flesh, to make no provision for that old man. But rather, we are to starve it. We are to put it off. We are to mortify it. We are to reckon it dead. And we are to put on the new man, the Word of God tells us. That is, we are to clothe ourselves with the characteristics of this new life. We are to feed that new man with the Word of God. And we're to walk in this new life of the Spirit. That's the responsibility that goes with the privilege, with the blessing. The blessing is that we become new creations in Christ Jesus. The responsibility is that we are to walk accordingly, that we are to live lives that make us like Christ. And it's a responsibility that we must admit is oftentimes very, very difficult to fulfill. But how are we to do this? How are we able to walk in paths of righteousness? How are we able to put on that new man in the true practical sense? We're able to do so because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability, it gives us the power to walk in paths of righteousness that are pleasing to God. May each of us concern ourselves with this conflict that goes on continuously within us, and by the power of the Spirit of God, do those things that are pleasing to Him, as we do those things that are characteristic of the new man, as we do those things that are characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Well, another wonderful blessing that accrues to a believer is that he or she becomes a member of the church. He or she becomes a member of the body of Christ, that body that is comprised of all who have put their trust in Him, all who have and all who will put their faith in Christ from the day of Pentecost until the rapture, until the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns, are members of the body of Christ, are members of the church of God. The teaching of Scripture about the church seems to be misunderstood by more people than any of the other prominent doctrines that we find in the Word of God. And what a blessing is missed if we don't grasp the significance of the words of Scripture that tell us about the church, that tell us about that which is called His body. It's not our intent this morning to get into a study of the church, nor really could that be done in just one meeting. Properly, but we mention it being members of the church, which is His body, is one of the great blessings that is ours, because it's unfortunate that we seem to have lost the grasp of this tremendous truth. We seem to have lost an appreciation for it. And it's unfortunate that there are many believers in the world today who have little or no knowledge of the tremendous truth of their church, of the church. I was reading a little book by Rideout the other day, and in his little book on the church, he points out the need for a clearer apprehension, as he puts it, of the nature and the dignity and the destiny of the church. And he asks the question in this book, what do we see as we look around at the present condition of the church? And this is what he says. He says, instead of a heavenly people waiting for God's Son, we see a worldly company seeking to make a name upon the earth. Instead of one body, many divisions. Instead of the realized power of the Holy Spirit in all worship, ministry, and discipline, we see human experiences and organizations. Instead of separation from the world, we see the church at home in the world and linked to it. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? And yet as we look around us today, isn't this true? But we must always keep in mind that the church is comprised of individuals. The church is comprised of you and of me. And if these are the characteristics of the church as we view it today, then they must be the characteristics of you and of me. And what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to walk in ways pleasing to God. Our responsibility is to have no part of division, to have no part of worldliness, but to do those things that the Word of God instructs us to do, and that should be characteristic of the church. If you and I would fulfill that responsibility, then we as an assembly of God's people here at Greenwood Hills would be so characterized. But if we don't, then we can't expect any further impact to be made upon the church as a whole. So may you and I who belong to Christ examine our own individual hearts, and may we collectively as an assembly of God's people make certain that we are not characterized by worldliness, that we are not characterized by disobedience, but rather adhering to the Word of God and enjoying to the fullest the position that is ours as members of the body of Christ. Another blessing, another one of the blessings of the believer, is that he enjoys the constant protection of God. Nothing can happen to any one of us without God's permission. Nothing can separate us from the love of God or of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can separate us from the love of Christ, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are under God's constant protection, and we are held securely in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We are held securely in the hollow of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who have trusted Christ are his sheep, and he gives us eternal life. He gives us the gift of pardon and of grace in this world, and he gives us a life of glory in the world to come. And eternal life is the possession of every believer. And the Lord Jesus Christ declares that those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will never perish, will never be lost, but are held firmly, firmly in the hollow of his hand. And no one will ever pluck them out of his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd cares tenderly for his sheep. He cares for you and for me, for all of his believing people. He provides for our needs. He bears patiently with our weaknesses and with our shortcomings and with our failures and infirmities. He guards us and he protects us against our enemies. Not one of us who has put our trust in Christ will ever be lost. We are kept securely in his hand. What a tremendous blessing this is, to be found in Christ with the knowledge that nothing can separate us from him. The forgiveness of sin. A child of God. An heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. A new creation in Christ. A member of the church, the body of Christ. The constant protection of God. These are just a few of the privileges and blessings that belong to those of us who have by faith trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we've touched upon them this morning in a very, very superficial manner, as I'm sure you realize. There's not a lot that we've said that you haven't heard before. There's not a lot that we've said that you don't already know. But again, we mention them to you this morning because we feel that each one of us needs to be reminded from time to time of those privileges and blessings that are ours in Christ, that we might not take them for granted, but that we might have a deeper appreciation for them. And I trust that our hearts might be stirred as we consider these things that God has given to us through Christ. And there are so many others. We haven't mentioned some of the most important. We haven't mentioned the home that we have already prepared for us in heaven. We haven't mentioned such important and wonderful subjects as justification and reconciliation and sanctification and righteousness and a myriad of others that we might be reminded of, things that apply to us because of our faith in Christ, things that impact upon us as believers in Christ, all of which provide untold blessing to us because we belong to him. But if you're here this morning as one who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, may I ask you, wouldn't you like to be the beneficiary of these privileges and blessings that we've been reminding ourselves of? Wouldn't you like to be a recipient of them? Wouldn't you like to experience the forgiveness of sin? Wouldn't you like to be a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to be one of those who is accepted in the Beloved? Wouldn't you like to be one of those who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and thus has become a new creation in Christ? Wouldn't you like to be a member of the church, not the Greenwood Hills Chapel, but a member of the Church of God, a member of the body of Christ? Wouldn't you like to enjoy the constant protection of God, to be held securely in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, to know that you will be with him throughout the countless ages of eternity, that nothing can separate you from himself? Well, all of these blessings, all of these privileges can be yours this morning if by faith you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What does it mean to trust Christ? First of all, it means to admit that you're a sinner. Folks don't like to admit that, but nevertheless, if we're honest with ourselves, we all have to admit that to some degree, whether small or large, we are all sinners. And then we must repent of our sin. And then we must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's beloved Son, when he died upon the cross, when he shed his precious blood upon that cross, when he paid the penalty of sin at the righteous hand of God, that it was for you. That's what it means to put your trust in Christ. To believe that he died for you. To believe that he paid the penalty for your sin so that you need not pay it. And in simple faith to reach out and say, Lord Jesus, I trust thee as my Savior. And if you'll do that, all of the privileges and blessings that we mentioned, with countless more that we haven't dwelled upon this morning, will be yours. You'll know the forgiveness of sin. You'll have the assurance of a home in heaven. You'll have a joy in your heart such as nothing in this world can give you. You'll become a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. May God grant that if you are here today without ever having trusted Christ, that you will make him your Savior this morning. And may those of us who are his have a deeper appreciation for the things that are ours in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank thee for this time together this morning. We thank thee that in this nation we can meet in this way with an open Bible, without any external interference. And we thank thee for the truths of thy word. We thank thee for the truth of salvation, that all through faith in Christ might have life eternal, might know the forgiveness of sin, and an enjoyment of all that is found in thy beloved Son. And may those of us, Father, who are thine, have a deeper sense of appreciation for the things that thou hast given to us in Christ Jesus. And may we also be willing to fulfill the responsibilities thou dost give to us to walk in paths of righteousness in ways that are pleasing to thee, and to do those things, Father, that are in accordance with thy will, that we might be more like Christ. Part us with thy blessing, we ask thee. Give each one a safe journey. Keep us from the dangers of the road, we ask, as we give thee our thanks again for this time together, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.